much about. So easy.
This is the real thing. This is the necessary art of our time. This needs respect. Because it isn't, and it doesn't, and nobody cares.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
This is Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Ass Whore?
If it was Ass Whore. What if your name, say, was Vagina Patterson?
Anyway, here it is. Are you ready? How about that drum roll? Where's the drum? We don't have a drum roll, but we're going to hear it anyway. We're going to hear it, but here it is.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
And now,
as high school said, let's do this.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 18th of May.
Morning, y'all.
Good
How are
morning.
You?
What's happening?
Super, super sad today.
Yeah, same.
Oh, my gosh. Where do you start? Where do you start with a talent like Chris Cornell, a guy that we've had on this show multiple times over the years, a guy who with his various bands going all the way back to Temple the Dog has been such a friend to K-Rock for 25 years. We've been having Chris Cornell walk through the doors here.
Yeah, and I was trying to think how many times we've interviewed him.
Oh, I don't know.
12?
And how many times
15?
We've listened to his records,
yeah,
and seen him in concert and watched him on TV and always loved him. One of our favorite guests,
yeah.
I would say.
Allie sort of feels sorry for people. She says sweet spirit. Like,
uh-huh.
Oh, that's a
He's
that's,
a sweet spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
But he actually was.
Yeah.
Like, he was really genuinely just kind and down to earth and didn't realize that he had the best voice in the world.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been a nicer guy to everybody. Yeah. Here's a report from earlier this morning in the city of Detroit, where Chris Cornell's body was found last night after their show at the Fox Theater. And, well, we got much more to talk about, but let's hear what's coming in now.
Yeah, we are following the story of Chris Cornell, age 52, rock star from the group Soundgarden, earlier in his career, Audio Slave. You're looking at video from inside his final concert. This was last night in Detroit. Cornell, dead of an apparent suicide. He was found inside the MGM Grand Hotel last night, just hours after performing.
Now, by the way, the suicide news came out of Detroit first, if you hadn't heard that angle of it. And, Allie, you hadn't heard that.
I hadn't heard that.
A couple of minutes ago. Because when somebody dies at 52, and especially somebody who, you look at Chris Cornell, the picture of perfect health. If he hadn't been a rock star, he obviously would have been the world's highest paid male model. couldn't be any more handsome, and also couldn't be any in better physical condition. I mean, you just looked at him as the perfect specimen. So the last thing I expected was a health problem, unless it's just one of those crazy like heart things that pops up that you just don't know is coming. It's just a shocker like that, you know. It never would have occurred to me, suicide. And that's not confirmed. You know, and I know there's no type for suicide. It can be anybody. But, you know, you hear he dies at 52, and I didn't think it was going to be a Scott Weiland situation, because that's a guy where you could see trouble coming a mile away. That wasn't the case with Chris Cornell. It ends up being apparently maybe more of a Kurt Cobain situation, which is even sadder, I think. You know, you can't put your head in the mind of somebody with that kind of a depression. You know, from the outside, you look at Chris Cornell and you go, who has everything? Chris Cornell has everything. And, you know, you follow his social media, and he was, you know, been tweeting up a storm in the last few days, loving wonderful things about lots of people, about the mother's children for Mother's Day, about how excited he was about the tour. Hey, they rocked it in Kansas City last night. He tweeted yesterday afternoon how great it was to be back in Detroit, how excited he was about the show. I think you'll hear more about people who interacted with Chris on the final night last night in this report.
You see here inside the Fox Theater, a lot of people noting they didn't notice anything different about him. I actually talked to somebody who worked at the concert last night, said he came off stage, talked to the production folks. This was business as usual. He even tweeted out an image earlier in the evening saying it was great to be back in Detroit. Now, this news, obviously devastating to people, fans, and friends. We have been continuing to track Twitter. A lot of fellow musicians reacting to the news. A lot of sorrow, a lot of heartbreak.
Yeah. everybody is weighing in, from Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin to Gavin Rosdale, Adam Lambert, Elton John, Carson Daly. The list just goes on and on and on. Lin-Manuel Miranda. I mean, it's such a shocking thing. When you see it, you go, I can't wrap my head around it when you see news like that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know? But, so we'll, you know, what can you do? You just got to move on. But obviously we'll be playing, you know, playing some music from the various bands and hopefully have a chance to include some of your phone calls and whatnot. I mean, he was just, last time he was in, do you remember, Kevin? We got to find this tape. He came in with Ben, bass player from Soundgarden, and they performed acoustic.
Yep.
It was when they were coming through town on, you know, they reunited, I think, in 2012, and they were coming through town a few months after that. And we put him in the other room, and it was 7 o'clock in the morning, and they did Fell on Black Days. And you wouldn't have believed that wasn't 10 takes stitched together to make the perfect recording. It was so perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He didn't even need a guitar or anything or a piano. Yeah. Could have just sung a cappella and it would have been amazing.
And as Kevin mentioned, such a sweet, sweet man and just so, so nice. And, you know, we've lost too many, you know, too many people in general, but certainly too many of the musicians that we grew up on listening here to the station that, you know, that we love so much. It's just, it's so sad every time you lose another one.
Yeah, that sucks. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Wow, that's terrific.
Thank you.
Really?
Dr. Drew's on the show today.
Yeah, let's get Drew's take on this, too.
We also have Jim Rome talking sports. Mm-hmm. We have your tickets for U2 at the Rose Bowl. Got a game for you to play for that. We have tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta. And we also have a little band by the name of Muse stopping by in the 7 o'clock hour.
Yay!
And they've got new music. Very exciting. New music from Muse. So that's coming this morning at 7 a.m. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Celebrating the life of Chris Cornell today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Found dead last night after a show in Detroit at just 52 years old. By the way, the last song, and I don't know if there's any significance to this at all, but the last song performed on that show that turned out to be Chris's final show was a cover of the Led Zeppelin song In My Time of Dying, for what it's worth, which they had performed before as part of a medley with another Soundgarden song, Slaves and Bulldozers, but that was the last thing he ever sang was In My Time of Dying. So, I mean, did he know something ahead of time? No way to know. But anyway, that's some of the news that's coming out of Detroit here this morning. So we'll keep an eye on it and find out more when we can. It's 5:53. Rob is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
Here's the thing about showbiz folks. They're not afraid to try something new. For example, David Cross, who's married to Amber Tamblyn. Amber did some oversharing with Us Weekly magazine when she told the magazine in an interview that her husband, David Cross, absolutely loved... Want to guess? Can we fill in the blank?
Absolutely
loved. In their relationship, loved... It's past tense, because it did happen a while back.
Okay.
Absolutely love.
Oh, I'll help you out.
Okay.
It happened when they welcomed their baby girl Marlo into the world last February.
He loved wearing a diaper and having it changed.
And good night. That's where the first guess was, Allie? That's your first guess?
Yep.
Okay.
That's my favorite guess.
David Cross loved wearing a diaper and having it changed.
Please tell me that's it.
Sadly, that is not it.
Aww.
He loved drinking her breast milk. Well, drinking Amber's breast milk.
Not as fun.
It is for him.
Amber said she convinced me it was an honorary thing just to give it a try. And he did and loved it and drank it all down.
Right.
On the reg. Like to drink some breast milk. Who doesn't? Hey, I got my cornflakes out, honey. Could you come over and just lean over? Just bear down a little bit? Come on!
Have you guys ever heard of that before? Is that super, super uncommon?
I've heard of everyone trying it.
Right, but not drinking.
I've never heard of everyone loving it and drinking a whole thing down. He drank the whole thing, she said to the interviewer.
David Cross is one of those guys, though, that would do, it seemed like he would do anything he felt like doing.
Yeah, but apparently it wasn't like for a gag.
Right,
she
no,
said
I know.
He absolutely loved it.
Huh. Make some more, honey.
Well, look, there's a supply. Why should the kid take it all?
Right. Kids are selfish.
While we're talking about deliciousness, Just as a quick aside, I don't know if you saw this tonight. See, In-N-Out Burger has finally been beat out as America's top burger chain.
Did not see that.
That's I did.
The Harris Poll, every year they do the top burgers that you can get. Fast food burgers. And it's always been In-N-Out. It's always been the top burger.
As it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not this time. Five guys.
Fake news.
Five guys topping In-N-Out.
Nah.
Please.
Now, let me ask this question.
Real quickly, followed by Shake Shack, Wendy's, and Culver's.
Is it possible that they poll nationwide and there are many states with no In-N-Out burger, so that's not even in the running for those people?
Well, that's always been the case. How did In-N-Out be number one for many years?
For years.
Maybe there's more Five Guys now.
So you're saying all of the ones that you just read beat In-N-Out?
There's always been more Wendy's. There's always been more other restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And In-N-Out's been the top of the poll.
Well, this is just stupid. That's it.
Yeah, I don't agree with
this. I don't think
poll.
It's necessarily numbers of restaurants. Otherwise, I think other chains would probably be higher up on the list.
That's bullshit.
Right? Mm-hmm. You guys ever eat Five Guys?
Yes.
How is it?
It's pretty awesome.
It's good.
It's pretty good.
It's really good, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's no In-N-Out, though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
And that's what a hamburger's all about, in my opinion.
That's what I've heard.
Really? Have I said that to you before?
Yeah. A lot.
And Taylor Swift has a new boyfriend.
Well, alleged.
No, she has a new boyfriend. A British actor named Joe Alwyn. The UK's Daily Mail.
Poor bastard.
Right? Talked to people around him and said he is very charismatic and they call him the quintessential panty dropper.
Ew. Who said that? The Daily Mail?
Yes.
Oh.
That's charming.
What?
No one has ever heard of this guy, which is exactly why he's dating Taylor Swift, of course. He's just one breakup song away from the A-list, so let's just get it over with, can we? Can we just have the breakup song and just move along so we don't have to deal with it?
See, she doesn't just date big stars, you guys. This guy's not even verified on Twitter and she's going out with him.
Right.
How do you know he's not verified on Twitter?
I've been following this story for a while, Ralph. Come on.
Is it true she was wearing wigs and stuff around London so people wouldn't know who she was?
She's the worst.
She's the best.
But it's still her face and everything?
Yeah.
Come on.
Right? It's so affected. Oh, my God. It's people who try to attract more attention to themselves by desperately trying to not have anyone pay attention to them. She dresses as Carmen Sandiego so that no one will recognize her. You know, everybody's going, who is that woman in the goofy wig and the hat?
With the quintessential panty dropper.
Right? Oh, I want to give her a Fargo air conditioner so bad.
That's not a sex move, you guys.
No.
I'm looking that up.
That'd be the best. Look up Fargo air conditioner.
It's not a good thing.
By the way, Kevin,
what?
Are you watching Fargo?
What did I do?
Are you watching Fargo? How many episodes are you behind?
I'm not caught up on Fargo. Last night I watched Designated Survivor. That's all I had time for. That and hockey.
The most recent episode of Fargo.
Okay.
Last night's, you're talking about.
Last night's Fargo, Ewan McGregor, the great Ewan McGregor, is playing two roles, playing himself and his brother, is talking to Michael Stuhlbarg, who's also just a genius actor, but in this particular series is amazing. He wheels around to him at one point, very frustrated with him, and says these words, "What is the point of you?"
And Kevin says it here and it comes out there.
Kevin Ryder is writing for Fargo.
I'm guessing that was written a long time ago, but I'll take credit, everyone. I'll take credit.
How funny is that one of your greatest lines showed up on Fargo last night?
What is the point of you?
What is the point of you?
What is the point of you?
He asks him in a point of frustration.
That's funny.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Kevin, you're a trendsetter.
I know.
He does. He knows. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chow Yun-Fat. Legendary actor is 62 years old today. Tina Fey is 47. And singer Jack Johnson. He's got bubbly toes.
He sure does.
He's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017 is happening Saturday, just a couple of days from now, at StubHub Center. We are still giving away tickets twice each morning on the Kevin and Bean Show in the pit. And that means you, right now, can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Heads up, you'll be on hold for a little bit, but we are going to be playing a game in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. If you want to join us to see Lord and Incubus and Imagine Dragons and Cage the Elephant, 311, Paramore, Lana Del Rey, Dreamcore, and all the rest, call now. Give you a chance to win those tickets on K-Rock.
Also, more on the untimely passing of Chris Cornell on the way. But first, a little lighter story. Did you guys, I'm sure you've seen Romp Him. I'm sure you've seen the commercials, the tweets. Mm-hmm.
The male romper.
The sure. male romper. It has mm-hmm. taken over the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, a romper, forgive me, guys. I'm really not that familiar with the term. Is the same as a jumpsuit?
It's like like babies wear a little, like a onesie with shorts, can be a tank top or whatever.
It's a onesie and with shorts.
Yeah. A lot of women were wearing them at Coachella. Now
a lot of guys are now wearing them.
It seems like it might be... look, I'm not going to wear one.
Say it.
Not going to wear it. Come I'm just on. Saying... It looks like
wear it Saturday.
It looks like it would be really comfortable.
I'll pay you to wear it Saturday.
Until you had to pee, Bean.
Oh, really?
And then you have to take the whole thing off. So good luck to you just standing there naked.
I'll pay you $100 to wear it Saturday. Come on,
Bean.
What do we know about Romp Him, about this new Romp Him brand?
Well, let's listen to the commercial.
It's well done.
And we'll see what we can glean from that, all right?
Sure.
Here we go.
Today, we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive. We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology.
Now, why are we stomping the yard? What's happening here?
Now, so far, I'm unable to hear a word.
Yeah, stop the marching so we can hear you.
Are they invading Poland while they sell rompers? What's happening here?
I'm not positive. All I know is that it continues for quite some time, and you can't understand a single word they say.
Each worker may bloom secure, and we will bury them with their own confusion. We shall prevail.
We shall prevail.
Okay.
I heard that.
Oh, there's no
there we go.
On May 15th, 2017, Aced Design will introduce the original Romp Him. And you'll see why this summer is about to get romped.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Romp Him, your new favorite summer outfit, as they say, is a Kickstarter right now. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get these up and made. They're designed, created, and manufactured in Chicago. And you're supposed to support this project. And there are various perks that you can get if you're an early adopter for the original Romp Him.
But can I tell you that their goal was $10,000?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that they already have over $136,000?
Hold on. Let's go to Dave, the King of Mexico, who has an actual update on how much they needed. $10,000. How much do they have as of right now, Dave?
Well, they got bumped up a little bit. So now they have $221,006.
$221,000, you guys.
Their goal? $10,000.
To make the Romp Him.
Yep.
This is unbelievable.
Yep.
Aced Design's Kyle Mangrove is on the phone with us right now. That's the company behind the Romp Him. Hey, Kyle, you must be on top of the world with this news.
We're very, very happy to have people responding so much to the Romp Him.
I'm sorry, can you turn the music down a little bit?
No.
That's a no?
Yes, of course we can.
I know, but we can't really follow what you're saying.
I feel like you're
not. Yes, turn it down. It's going up.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. There we go. Okay, now we can understand you. Thank you.
I didn't realize you wanted me to turn it down now.
Yes.
When you said, can you turn it down?
Oh.
I thought you were just asking me, am I capable of turning it down?
I see, right.
Of course I am.
Uh-huh. No, we meant for the purposes of this interview so that our listeners could hear you.
Completely my mistake. A complete misunderstanding on my part.
Okay, all right.
Kyle,
Kyle Mangrove here from Aced Design.
Right.
Right. Why do adult males in the 21st century have to wear a romper?
First of all, it's not a romper, it's a Romp Him.
Okay, right, okay, fine.
Right.
Okay, let's get that right.
Right,
I've
right.
been working for years trying to make clothes specifically for men, because there are...
Hello? I believe we lost Kyle.
Oh, Kyle.
Oh. By the way, let's try to get it back on the line. These, the Kickstarter, if you just pledge $25, you get a Romp Him iron-on patch and sticker, you guys.
I mean, who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want to put that on his backpack or his jacket and walk around advertising, hey, check me out, I'm in the Romp Him family.
I don't want to take a walk down Conspiracy Alley.
Yes!
Oh!
This is a ripoff.
Is it possible that this was all a joke? And then they were like, oh, God, now we've got $220,000.
What do we do with it?
Yes.
Now we have to make Rompums?
Now we have to make them.
I believe we have Kyle back on the phone. Hello, Kyle.
Why did you hang up on me?
I don't know what happened. The phone just died.
Our phones are janky here, Kyle. It's a K-Rock thing. Sorry.
We apologize.
I've been trying to make clothing specifically for men for years because there's no clothing that's made just for men.
Except all?
I feel like there's a lot of clothing made for men.
The Romp Him is revolutionary, following in the heels of my other more less successful clothing types.
Okay.
The pants for men that I call mance.
Okay.
The ties for men that I call tie guys.
Right. All of these exist, though, already.
The belts for men called beltims.
Okay, but again, we have belts. We're fine without you, Kyle.
The knitted hats for men that I call beanies.
Right.
And, of course, the fedoras for men that I call Manhattans.
Right. They're still just fedoras.
None of those did as well as the Romp Hims.
Yeah, the Romp Him has definitely taken off. I mean, it's crazy how much money has come in for you.
Not only that, but Cam Newton himself wore one at Coachella, so you know it's got to be douchey.
Is he considered a great dresser or a horrible dresser, you guys?
He's considered one of the most fashion-forward NFL football players.
I mean, he does dress wacky every time you see him.
Yeah. Wacky? Is it wacky or is it wonderful?
It's wacky. Okay.
And is he a man? Does he dab? Yes, he does.
Yes.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about one Kickstarter pledge on your page for the Romp Him, and I want to make sure I understand. You're all sold out of the 4th of July special edition that's not available anymore, the red, white, and blue Romp Him, just in time for my Independence Day celebration?
Sadly, that was a limited edition only, and it has been sold out at the low, low price of $190 each.
$190?
Yes!
Lord.
Your phones are working now because you heard me. $190.
That's unbelievable.
Now you can get a 3-pack of the original Romp Hims for the low price of $255.
That just seems like a lot, Matt.
Or a 2-pack for... What? You call me
Who's
Matt?
Who's Matt?
Why is Kyle Matt?
Why are you calling me Matt?
Kyle, that seems like a lot.
But listen, Alan, because the original 2-pack, you can get two of these Romp Hims for just $175.
That is also a lot.
No, it's not, Alan.
All right, that one was on me, Kyle. I'm sorry.
No, don't feel bad, Robert. I think it's fine.
So...
Do you have any further questions about the Romp Him?
I
think you guys may be out.
I feel like we are out.
Well, you have the control of the button to end the interview then, don't you?
Thank you for your time, Mark.
We are going to be discussing and taking your calls on the sudden passing of Soundgarden's Chris Cornell coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But first, on a lighter note, we've got the Weenie Roast this weekend. It is sold out, but you can still win tickets in the pit right now with a game that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
How's this one go, Kevin?
We're going to play a second of a song from one of the artists that's playing the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta. We're going to tell you the artist, so it's not too difficult because there are a lot of them. Right. So we're going to tell you the artist. We'll play a second of the song. We'll play it twice, and then you have to tell us the name of the song.
All right. So if you're the type of person who knows what's on the radio when you hear it, you're going to do pretty well at this game. Who's our first contestant?
Just a second!
It is Adrian in Mentone. Hi.
Top of the morning.
Adrian, is there a lot of comedy when you're out and you tell people that you're a pipe layer?
Sometimes.
I can imagine.
Sometimes
there
it comes from him.
Come on.
All right, listen up. We'll play it for you twice. Kevin, who's the artist on this one?
Imagine Dragons. All right, Adrian, Imagine Dragons. Here we go.
All right.
One more time.
I know it. That's Radioactive.
Yes! I like that he declared that he knew it.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's pretty sweet.
Adrian is in the drawing.
Nicely done. Let's go to George in Anaheim. Hi, George.
Good morning, guys.
All right. You ready for your song?
Yes.
This is Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. All right.
Here you go.
One more time.
That is Cecilia and the Satellite?
Yes, it is. We are trying to use the biggest songs. We're not trying to fool you, so know that.
I got to tell you, this is not a hot take or anything, but a second is not very long.
Wow.
Thanks for chiming in.
Just a second.
Wow. I just say it.
So Bean saying, everyone, a second is not very long.
Yeah.
Well, it's a short duration of time.
Right.
Okay.
It's really quick.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Alex in Long Beach. Hi.
Hey.
Hey there. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. You get Cage the Elephant. Here you go. One more time.
Oh, shoot. I know it, too, but, man, I'm having a brain fart.
No.
Oh.
That sucks.
Oh, man.
Biggest song, probably.
No, no guess?
No, I can't.
Ain't no rest for the wicked. Thank you for your call.
Sorry, Alex.
Let's try James in Paramount. Hi.
Hey, guys.
All right. Are you ready for yours?
Yes.
This would be Lord. You get Lord. Here you go.
Wait till you're...
One more time.
Wait till you're...
I think he already has it.
Yep.
James.
Hello, James?
Team.
Team, yes.
Wait till you're announced.
Nicely done.
It is not a lengthy duration of time. Like, from where it begins to where
just
it,
a second!
To where it ends, it's just it's so fast.
Just a second!
It's a second. All right, let's get a couple more folks qualified, then we'll do a drawing for tickets.
Joe in Ontario. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good. You ready for your song?
Oh, yeah.
This is Incubus. Incubus, here you go. One more time.
Pardon me?
Pardon me is correct, yes. Nicely done. All right, let's go to Jacob in Pico Rivera. Hi.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
Yeah.
One more time?
Tell them who it is.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you who it was. It's Paramore.
Paramore is Misery Business.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yes, it is. There it is the second time, and then the song.
All right, let's do one more contestant for tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Queenie Roasty Fiesta.
All right, Anthony in Pico Rivera. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, this is 311. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
One more time.
311, down.
Down. Nicely done.
Anthony, Jacob, Joe, James, George, and Adrian, all dudes looking to be in the pit Saturday at StubHub Center for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 to see all those great bands. Only one can win, though. Miss Alan McKay, it's up to you.
The winner is Jacob.
Yeah! Jacob! Congratulations, Jacob.
Yes.
Are you there? Congratulations. You got tickets in the pit Saturday. We'll see you there, and thanks for playing the game.
Just a second! Heavy hearts this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and among all of our listeners, as we found out this morning, the passing of our friend Chris Cornell at just 52 years old. We thought, we could talk about Chris all day, but we thought we'd give you the opportunity to share your thoughts. If you have feelings or interactions with Chris you want to talk about, and give us a call at 1-800-520-1067, or you can text us as well, same phone number. Why don't we start with Anita, by the way? She sounds like the perfect person to talk to. She's in Westminster, Line 1. Anita, it sounds like you spent hundreds of hours watching Chris Cornell in your life. What's up?
Indeed, I have. Between August of 2008 and as recently as last week, I've seen Cornell perform 51 times. Multiple 51. Times in Southern California, the Bay Area, Seattle, as well as eight other states and even Canada.
Where were you in the 90s?
I was 12 when Soundgarden first split up.
So you were too young. So you came to him as an adult, and then just fell in love with him. It sounds like.
Yeah, Audio Slave was definitely my gateway into all things Cornell when I was in high school, and from there it took off. I actually was a big appreciator of his solo album Scream and all of his other solo albums as well.
Let me ask you this, because you just saw him as recently as last night. The reports coming out of Detroit, where he played the Fox Theater, said that you in a million years would never have guessed there was anything amiss, because it just seemed like another great Soundgarden show. Was that your feeling last week when you saw him? Could you tell at all that anything was up?
So I'll correct you on that. I wasn't at the show last night. I was in
last week,
Carolina.
I said.
Last week, yes.
Go ahead.
I saw him at Carolina Rebellion. And he closed out with my all-time live favorite song, Slaves and Bulldozers, with, you know, the extended jam sesh and In My Time of Dying insert. And nothing then was amiss. I did see footage from last night's show where they did the same thing.
Right.
And I have to say that that piece of In My Time of Dying was very different than any other way that I've seen him perform it before.
Oh, wow. I mean, I wonder if you're just reading that into it because you know what happened shortly thereafter, but it's certainly possible there was some indication that something was amiss. But I'm glad you called, Anita, and I'm sorry for your loss, and we appreciate it. Thanks so much. Let's go to Daniela. She's in Covina. She's on line 5 here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I got to tell you, having had a few friends who've committed suicide, mm-hmm. there's a lot of times you don't get a heads up of any kind.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You go, but he was perfectly normal yesterday, yeah. you know?
And that's what's yeah. so terrifying about yeah. it is because your first inclination is to think, why didn't I know?
Right.
Why couldn't I have help?
Who could have helped? Right.
Yeah. But and sometimes someone needs to work through that with you that you can't blame yourself
right.
for
right.
any of it.
Daniela
ever.
In Covina. Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Okay, so I went to a Temple of the Dog concert, like, when was it? Like, November? And, like, my parents had extra tickets, and, you know, I didn't really know who they were, but I was like, I'll go. So as soon as I heard Chris Cornell and sang his first song, and I just fell in love with his voice and his music.
So that was the first time you ever heard his voice was last November?
Well, live, because I heard him on the radio.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, cool.
I got you.
And I heard him live, and I was like, wow.
And you know what? That's a really, really good point, Danielle, and thank you for calling. I'm glad you brought that up because you hear a lot of great singers on records, and you have no idea how much work is being done to make them sound like that. But I'm telling you, you see Chris Cornell yeah. in person, and as we saw many times over the years, you know, they were on the Weenie Roast in 2012. They played Acoustic Christmas 2015, so we've seen them recently. When you see them live, it's all there. There's no help.
Yeah,
that's just what it sounds like coming out of his throat, which is unbelievable.
His voice was magic.
All right, it was magic.
Let's go to Isaac in Ontario. Hi, Isaac.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What are your thoughts?
So, in 1994, I was sitting in the county jail fighting a life sentence, and I'm from the era of Metallica and, you know, and Slayer and Megadeth and everything. And when grunge rock first hit the scene, it was kind of a weird thing. I wasn't, you know, it was kind of weird. I wasn't too accepting. I'm into the speed metal heavy stuff, but I watched the first song and the first video I've ever seen by Soundgarden was Black Hole Sun mm-hmm. by Soundgarden. And that right there, I seen grunge just come from nothing. Just all of a sudden it was grunge rock, but rock was here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, if grunge rock can come from nothing, if anything, if a man can make anything out of nothing, I could do something with my life and change it around and not have to sit here in prison for the rest of my life.
And you're out of prison now?
Oh, yeah, I'm out of prison. I'm a project manager. I make $90,000 a year. I'm good. I have a baby on the way. You know, this was back in 1994 when it first hit the scene.
So it had, that much of an influence on you. That's amazing.
Well, not only that, there's two things that had an influence on me. Back then when I had gotten busted in 94, I was a heroin addict too. So I've been clean for 24 years now, and I attribute that to Spoon Man.
Wow.
Wow.
Congratulations so on this on being sober.
24 years.
That's fantastic. Imagine, congratulations.
Wow.
It just
so
breaks my heart that he's gone, 52 years old. I'm 45.
Yep.
I'm not that much younger than him.
Yep.
No, it's yep. I mean, that makes it 100 times worse is how young he was. But, man, what – I mean, I wish he had a chance to know that you were influenced like that in so many ways by him. I bet that would have made him real, real happy. Thank you for the call, Isaac. We really appreciate it. All right, we'll have to leave it there for right now. We got so many calls and texts coming in, and you can continue to text us throughout the day at 1-800-520-106. And we'll take some more calls later, too, but thanks.
It is 6:51.
We are minutes away from brand new music from the band Muse, you guys.
It's
been a long time. Yeah.
Love it.
Muse will be here, and we'll play their new song coming up. But first, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
We were talking about Danny Trejo's new venture, Trejo's Coffee and Donuts. And it made its debut there in Hollywood on Tuesday, corner of Santa Monica and Highland. And I'm thinking Danny's going to be okay in that location. When they opened on Tuesday, they sold out of donuts.
Wow.
You ever heard of a donut shop selling out of donuts?
No, that seems like bad planning.
Or really
or
good
high
business.
Demand, yeah.
And apparently, Trejo's Donuts is not just your everyday donut place. They have very unique, they have standard donuts, but unique flavored donuts as well, including a vegan banana cake
a nacho flavored donut with jalapenos.
Ooh. I'd try it.
Yeah, you would.
I'm not positive I'd like it, but I'd try it.
The nacho flavored donut is made with jalapenos, salsa, and cheddar cheese.
Hmm.
Is that a donut or is that a meal?
I'm afraid of him, but I have to say no to his nacho donut.
This is Machete.
I'm sorry, Machete. And he's got a tres leches donut as well. That sounds pretty good, actually. Gourmet coffee. Whatever you want. Right there, Trejo's Donuts. So you can check it out for yourself. I'm sure they have more donuts by now. They probably made
I would think
more.
So, yeah.
But I thought that was crazy that they sold it.
The Golden Machete.
Yes.
This is Machete.
Right, I got that. But he's also owns a donut shop.
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse.
They asked him for more donuts, and he had to refuse.
He knows the score. He gets the women.
He gets the women.
And he kills the bad guys.
He kills the bad guys, but he doesn't make enough donuts.
Right.
Coming to Broadway in fall of 2018. Are you ready for King Kong the Musical?
No.
What happened?
Wow, being
take
a
it
strong
easy.
King Kong musical
because
feelings.
A movie about a giant ape doesn't require all singing, all dancing. Come on. Not everything's a musical.
How upset can you be?
This is Broadway, though. You heard that part, right?
Yes. Not everything's a musical.
Okay. It debuted in Australia, apparently, in 2013.
Huh.
And was a big hit. Down there, so it's going to the Broadway Theater in fall of 2018.
Bean says no.
I do say
that.
No.
Yes. As you can imagine, it will feature a big, scary animatronic Kong that will loom large in the show as you watch.
Sure.
That's what pulls me out, is that you can watch a movie about King Kong, and they can trick you with the technology to believe it's happening.
Especially these days,
but
yeah.
When you go into a theater and you're watching it, and then the big, like, moving animatronic King Kong comes out, and it's kind of hitchy, and it kind of looks dead behind the eyes. I mean, you're not like, oh, okay, there's there's that.
Doesn't look quite
as
realistic.
Universal. Remember Universal? You'd go through the old school King Kong ride when you're on the tram. Like, oh, no, look out, it's Kong! And like, and he'd show up, and like, oh, he's got banana breath. And he would, like, shake the tram, but not really. And the helicopter would come. Has anyone been on that ride?
Yes. Yeah, and you'd see, like, some pulleys and some different levers
and I'm
stuff.
Like, I'm not that scared of that piece of machinery over there.
I don't like it. Oh, the tram is tipping. Bean doesn't like it.
All right. Here's something Allie will like.
Good note. Yeah.
Because it'll be a bigger payoff when she marries Conan O'Brien. He just renewed his deal with TBS for 4 more years. He's going to be on the air through 2022.
All right.
Is that a good business decision for TBS?
I mean, weren't they just saying they were going to cut him down to one day a week?
Look, I like Conan O'Brien, but is he on anybody's radar when
no.
it comes to late night television?
I don't think so.
I love him so much.
Right? No, I do too, but...
But do you watch him?
No, I don't.
Okay, well then there's
Forbes.
The
Forbes, is, by the way, is estimating that Conan makes $12.5 million a year in his current deal.
Oh, my.
Wow. You guys are going to be very happy together, Allie.
Listen, he's happily married, has children. I respect him from a distance.
No, he needs
but
a
if
little
he were
something,
to,
something on the side.
If he were to, you know, lose his wife
right.
in a boating accident.
Well, sounds like you're going to plan.
Boating?
I don't know.
Okay.
I love him. That's. I wonder what they're going to do, though, if they're going to keep him on 5 days a week. They were talking about just doing specials.
I'm sure for $12.5 million a year, he'll be willing to do... I don't know, a Wednesday afternoon.
Sure.
He'll do it once a month.
Right?
Whatever they
are. Wait, you're
going
to pay me $12.5 million and I only have to work one day a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
TBS, I'm just putting this right out there on Front Street for you. I will do the same show.
Yeah.
For $12 million a year. I'll
wow.
save you half
quite
a million.
A savings.
I'll save you $500,000 a year.
You'll do the same show as Conan?
Same show. Same okay. slot. Same set, everything.
Uh-huh. I see, okay.
But I'll do it for $12 million a year as opposed to the $12.5 million.
Which over 4 years saves them a lot of dough.
Look at that, right?
You know what really surprises me is I don't think they're drawing huge numbers to watch Conan live each night, but he also isn't creating viral videos, which is what we're told is the trade-off. You don't have to have many people watching anymore as long as you're getting a lot of traction on your videos. But when was the last time Conan did something on his show that people were talking about?
A lot of his gamer videos get a ton of hits.
I don't see them.
With him playing. Well, just because you don't see him doesn't mean other people aren't.
Oh, snap! Moated!
corroded. Your panties exploded.
I'm not sure what's happening.
You didn't say that as a kid?
No.
All right.
In general, I didn't use the word panties as a kid.
Well, you were missing out, Kevin. Chuck Berry's first music video ever dropped yesterday.
Oh, great.
You know, he's got an album coming out.
Right.
Which is his final album that he recorded just before he passed. And he's got a track on there. He's got a track on the album, which is called Chuck, called Big Boys. And that song had a video, a dance video made to it. And it was released on the internet yesterday. For the first time ever, Chuck Berry with a music video. You think after a career, the man was 90 years old, you think one of his songs would have a music video.
Yeah, true.
But it didn't, and I thought you might want to hear a little piece of it right now. Here's Chuck Berry's new music video.
I don't know if you can smell that far.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
It's a high-quality video, though, got to tell you.
It really is.
There is such a level of hatred that you can't even believe it.
Right?
There's a hatred, a deep-seated hatred.
Thank you.
We have to find out. Where is it coming from, and what can we do about it?
Thank you, Mr. Trump. You're absolutely right.
We know where it's coming from. Where it's coming from. I'd like it to stop.
Surprising no one leaked that.
Yeah, right? Today's celebrity birthdays. Chow Yun-fat is 62 years old today. Actress Tina Fey turns 47, and singer Jack Johnson, as he's known in Sweden.
Hmm.
He is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, new muse.
Hey.
Right there. Come on with the come on.
Yes.
That is called Dig Down. It is brand new music from the band Muse. Matt, Dom, two-thirds of Muse, in studio with us back again on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, boys?
Great. How you doing?
Doing well.
We're doing fine, and first of all, congratulations on the song. Thank God you're back. We've missed you. I have many questions having just heard Dig Down, and that is, how many people are involved in making this record? Like, how many instruments are being played? How many people are singing? It sounds huge for what we traditionally think of as just a three-piece band.
Well, there's 18 of me, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, there's 18 of me going Dig Down, Dig Down, Dig Down, all over. Yeah, so I'm trying to do my own sort of version of a gospel choir, I guess, yeah. But yeah, it's just the three of us, yeah. It's the three of us.
Just the three of you made all that music we just heard?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, 100%, yeah, yeah. We're purists, you know what I mean? We're sort of like the... I'd love to collaborate with others, but what do you think, Dom? I'm not a big collaborator, am I?
We've just talked about it a lot, but never actually done it.
We like the idea. We like the idea of working with other people. When it comes down to reality, we just sort of like hide in a little corner of a studio and say, don't come near me.
Interesting.
Well, my exact words after hearing that song was, I'd go to that church.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. I mean, there must be... I'll tell you what, when I was... maybe 10 or 11, I guess my dad, the first records were played to me were sometimes with gospel music and sometimes blues music, with Ray Charles, stuff like that. So I don't know. It's never really come out in Muse before, but on this song it definitely...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't until I layered all my voices together, you know, it's 18 of them, and Chris did about four as well. Surprised how gospel it sounded.
Yeah.
Put them all together, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah. Very much so. And it's so interesting because you've been dropping hints in interviews now and again over the last year or so because people are always asking, what's the next one going to sound like? What are you going to do next? And the way you've been describing it, I wasn't expecting this. You know what I mean? Like, this sounds so totally different than what I was expecting, and it's great.
Yeah, it's cool. That's
a good thing. I think we probably just wanted to do... you know, something completely different to what we did on Drones, you know, which was very much more, I suppose, kind of like heavy and riff based and guitar based. And typically every time we approach new music, we want to do something completely different to what we've just done. So this is that.
And when I hear those, when I hear the way the song begins, and we're going to play it again in a minute, the brand new song from Muse here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. When I hear the way it begins, it's like a stomper. You know what I mean? Like, Dom, you are working hard to make that beat, it sounds like.
The microphones and compressors are working really hard, aren't they? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're actually playing the drums quite softly, but it's mic'd so closely and so compressed, it sounds really hard and big, you know.
How about that? All right, so the song is called Dig Down, and that is out as of now. Here's the disturbing news: this line, there is no upcoming album planned.
Oh, yeah, of course there is, yeah. But it's just not for a long time. See, yeah, in the past we've always worked on, I guess, like, what, 15 songs at once or something. So we've done that. We've done seven albums now. So I like the idea of, like, writing a song, recording it, making a video and putting it out, like, you know, focusing on one song from beginning to end before we go on to the next one. And also I love the idea of putting it out as it happens, you know, because a song like this, it's nice to, you know, because I only wrote this song about like 6 weeks ago, you know what I mean? Wow. So that's the quickest I've ever got a song out from having written it, you know? And I think that's nice for people to hear, have the chance to hear a song that fresh, you know? And so this song will be on the next album. But the thing is, we're going to put out a lot of songs for our next album ahead of the next album.
Okay.
You know, whether they're like sort of songs like this, which are more like singles, or whether they're sort of more experimental things, we don't know yet. But I like the idea of just giving people like music as it comes rather than sort of holding it back for 2 years or a year until the whole album's finished, you know?
Now, is any of that a reaction to the difference in the way that music is consumed now?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I think the album's a sort of slightly different. Well, I guess everyone listens to songs more than they listen to albums nowadays. Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about that as an artist? Because some of your albums have had themes throughout. Drones is a perfect example of these songs you put together on purpose because they tell a story. If people are breaking it up and listening to it in the songs they like and ignoring the rest, does that bug you?
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll still make an album with it, and this song will be part of it, and there will be a concept and a link there with all those songs. You know what I mean? And there's definitely a certain group of people that love that, but there's also people that just love songs as well. So, yeah, I mean,
maybe
yeah.
A written test by song 9, and then they get the finished ones.
Yeah, totally. Thank you. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, puzzle. That's a track of puzzles to get the last three.
Matt and Dom are here from the band Muse. We have just heard their outstanding new song. It is called Dig Down, available everywhere. If you're just tuning in late, shame on you, first of all. Second of all, we'll play it again for you and ask a bunch of questions, including how the tour begins coming up very, very soon. This weekend, in fact. So all of that with our guests right after this on the world famous K-Rock. The unmistakable sound of the band Muse right there. That is their new song just out today. It is called Dig Down here on K-Rock. And we are thrilled to have our friends Matt and Dom from the band Muse back in studio with us on the Kevin Amin Show. Now you've heard it twice in a row on the radio. You guys still like it?
Digging it. Loving it.
I do. Yeah. Were you asking the listeners or us?
I was asking you. I just want to make sure.
When I first did all those backing vocals, I sang Dig Down, and it wasn't until I'd layered 18 of them that you realised it went Dig Down, Dig Down. I had to do them all again and just go Dig Down. Like, I had to not do the two G's in a row, Dig Down, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's a whole different song.
Yeah, so Dig Down. But when you layer them together, it sounds like Dig Down. It's really weird. If you actually sing Dig Down, it sounds like when you end up with like 18 of them. Anyway, I don't know why I throw that in there.
But, that's a great story, though, Matt. That's a great story. Hey, does it feel to you guys, because when you've gone on these world tours in the past, it's away from home and away from loved ones for, it seems like, forever. It's a big world, and everybody wants to see you play everywhere. Do you feel like you actually had some time off since the Drones tour ended?
Oh, we have had, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we had a run-up, yeah. We've kind of had 7 months off almost or something like that of touring, which is that's pretty long for us.
It's a long time for you guys. Yeah
we finished in like August last year, and you know, it's nice to just relax and do a bit of normal life, see family and friends, etc. and stuff like that, and but it's amazing how quick it goes, isn't it?
Flies by.
And but, I would imagine there's a lot of just, even when you're walking around and you're just laying on a beach or doing something fun, in the back of your mind there's always, well, at some point, I got to start writing songs. I got to start thinking about what's next, right? I mean, it never really goes away.
I mean, it's not like it's – you don't feel like you've got to. You know what I mean? Like, I think we actually probably thought we'd take a longer period of time off than we ended up taking in terms of making new music, you know? But obviously, so, you know, the world sort of changed in the last few months or the last 6 months or so. And I guess that triggered some inspiration, you know, and found myself writing very quickly, yeah.
So are some of the lyrics on the new record going to be headline related in terms of the changes you mentioned in the world?
I think this song, you can hear some elements in it for sure. Yeah, I think trying to send a message of, you know, I guess optimistic and, you know, hope, you know, because I think a lot of people are feeling a bit weird and sort of, you know, spun out by everything and almost scared of the future. And that's where we come into our strongest position. I think, you know, Muse have always been good at that kind of responding to that kind of, you know, stuff that's going on in the world with songs that I think hopefully would send something, a message of hope, you know, that we can change all this if we want to, you know.
We need hope, you guys. We need hope.
It's there.
You have some dates on the calendar. You're playing Lollapalooza, you're playing Life is Beautiful, you got festivals here and there, and is this a tour with 30 Seconds to Mars that's kicking off this weekend?
It's all the cities it's mainly actually the cities, the shows are our own shows. You know, we're doing some festivals, but aside from the festivals, we're doing these amphitheatres, and they're all the cities that we didn't have time to get to, we couldn't get to with the tour that we were doing last year. You know, what was it, last year or the year before? I can't remember. We did a drones tour, and it was mainly arenas and stuff, and we sort of played all these cities, and, you know, then we had to get to Europe, then we had to get to, you know, all over the place, South America and stuff. So now we're coming back, because America's so damn big. It's ridiculous,
yeah,
how big it is.
Yeah.
You could tour just the United States for like 2 years, yeah, and still like not play every city. Mm. So we've basically come back here for a second round, playing places like St. Louis, Nashville, Miami, these kinds of places we didn't get to on the last tour, you know.
So that's why we shouldn't take it personally then if there's no Southern California date yet. It just means you've been there and you've played that, right?
Yeah, we covered L.A., yeah. We'd play L.A. all the time if we could, but we've got to be careful not to overplay L.A. because we live here, so we could play here like every week. If I had it my way, I'd just do a residency in Staples. You know what I mean?
I think Las Vegas is calling your name for a residency, yeah, by the way. That's how they do it. What are you guys thinking in terms of the stage show this time around? You've done very, very big, and then you've also done smaller and more intimate.
Basically, Jared Leto's our stage show. That's our production. So
he brings, you'll use.
So rather than spend all the money on flying drones and show, we just got in a Hollywood movie star and said, there you go. that's far more interesting to look at than a bunch of video screens. So we're hoping the crowd's going to be entertained by, you know, great support bands. We've got Paris are playing with us as well.
They are, yes.
And so it's more of a sort of touring package of groups, you know, three bands. You know, we've got the screens, the videos, all that kind of stuff. But we don't have the flying drones because we're playing in these sort of amphitheatre outdoor places. So we're doing the best we can with the venues, you know.
There's the voices of Matt and Dom from the band Muse here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about this tour, by the way, which kicks off this weekend, Saturday night at the West Palm Beach in Florida, and then touring throughout the country. So you guys have been together now. It has to be very close to 20 years as a band, right?
Yes, veering over that edge, I believe. Yeah.
20 years?
Well, yeah, since high school, yeah. So yeah, we were 15-ish, 16. So it's probably longer than 20
it's
years
kind
now.
Of like 23. Really,
I mean,
isn't it?
It's definitely been it's under 20 years. So in terms of
the
bills,
are you surprised that it has worked as well as it has, and that you guys are still together and still energized and creative and still friends and all the other things that are no guarantee when you start a band?
It's the longest relationship of all of our lives, I think. I believe. Yeah. Yeah. It's surprising.
It's very surprising. It's bizarre, but I guess we're kind of, you know, lucky. I mean, you know, it's cheesy, but, you know, we've all had similar kind of, you know, goals with the music, I suppose. You know, a lot of bands, like, fall out due to, like, egos and musical differences and all that kind of stuff. You know? And for some reason, you know, of course, we've had, like any relationship, you can have, like, ups and downs and stuff like that. But I think, yeah, the music's seen us through, man.
You just dig down.
It's just carried us through.
Dig down.
Well done, Ali.
Thank you.
but I would think, especially because it's a musical relationship, it would be very easy for you to grow apart as people become influenced by other things. You know what I mean? Like one guy in the band all of a sudden just loves hip-hop. The other guy all of a sudden just loves heavy metal. And the other guy just loves pure pop. And I can see how sometimes you get in a room and it's kind of tough to satisfy everybody's itches.
Bean, stop trying to make him break up.
I'm not trying to do that at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe it as a musical relationship. I think it's like we're the only constants we've all had in each other's lives since teenage years. You know, we've all had girlfriends, wives, you know,
sometimes both.
Yeah, sometimes both. I did it at the same time, and it's you know, all sorts. You know, we've been through, you know, different types of situations, personals, ups and downs, and all that kind of stuff. But the one constant has always been like, oh yeah, those two dudes. Yeah, got to hang out with them and make some music.
So. Well, thank you for that, by the way. As I mentioned when you sat down, you guys have been one of our favorites for all these years, and we've always welcomed you here at K Rock, and you've been kind enough to play a bunch of our shows in the past. I hope that'll happen again one day down the road. And we're just excited to have Muse back on our radio, you guys.
Cool.
That's what I'm saying.
Thanks for having us.
Dig Down is available wherever you buy or stream your music today. No date for an album yet, but we will see more Muse songs, maybe even later this year, right, guys?
For sure, yeah. Yeah, I think, enjoy this one for a bit, and then as soon as you get bored of this one, we'll give you another one.
Sounds great. Matt Bellany, Dominic Howard, the band is Muse, muse.mu. A pleasure, gents. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you. Cheers.
Now, late, great Chris Cornell on K-Rock doing his cover of the Prince song. And we'll include some more of your phone calls next hour as we continue to remember our friend Chris Cornell. This is going to be a very tough transition, but we're going to try it.
This is Whiplash Radio right here.
It is. And I apologize in advance.
Guys, well, first of all, let me start with this. What's your feeling on Hooters, the restaurant chain, Kevin? Is it a place that you go to at all?
It isn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How come?
How come?
Because you're offended by all those boobs in your face when you don't want that?
Is it the shiny orange shorts?
Here's what... I think the food isn't fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Are they a sponsor?
Oh, I don't think so, no.
If they're a sponsor, I love
you
it.
You love the Wings.
I love it so much. Oh, my God, I love it.
Well, the reason I bring
also,
up...
By the way, I also think they've gone a long ways away from being hot.
Uh-huh. Oh.
The servers. Oh. I really think it's become very politically correct, and they don't want to focus on that.
Uh-huh.
So
they got some hogs out there?
None of my business.
So the waitresses aren't hot enough for Kevin to go to Hooters.
That just happened.
That just happened. Well, I have some great news for you, Kevin. Because
I didn't use the word hogs, by the way. That was Elliot.
Hooters has a competitor that is increasing sales. That's doing nothing but going up, up, up. There's a guy who worked for Hooters for many, many years. He was the company's executive vice president of operations and purchasing. He worked there for 8 years, and then he left, teamed up with some other guys, and started a new Hooters-like franchise with hotter chicks, shorter pants, and more cleavage. And the restaurant is called Twin Peaks. Ladies and gentlemen, Twin Peaks. Nope, nothing to do with the TV show. No, this is a different kind of Twin Peaks. And apparently they are nothing to do with David Lynch. Right. Hooters wasn't racy enough was basically the conclusion that they came to. Hmm. So they have gone all out with Twin Peaks, the restaurant. They're growing like crazy. They're all over the Twin Peaks meaning boobs. We wanted to find out more about this. We got Joe Hummel, the CEO himself from the Twin Peaks restaurant, joining us on K-Rock right now. Hello there.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. How are you, Joe? Mr. Hummel. How are you?
Joe Hummel here.
Yes.
From Twin Peaks. The restaurant.
It's a restaurant, I guess.
That is clever.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, the guy who was saying before was right. Listen, Hooters is so, watered down now. Oh, we got to hire girls at any shape or size. Oh, let's put T-shirts on it. Who wants that? That's not why you go to a restaurant. That's not what we got. We got tiny little plaid shirts. Oh, they're barely covering anything. Oh, you'd be so embarrassed if you went there. And the shorts are just bogged right in the crack. It gets the best. And Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day, Twin Peaks waitresses, they serve food and beer in lingerie!
Why are you yelling at us, Joe?
Because
Twin Peaks is the best.
Okay.
It's the best, and you should come here. We got everything you want in a restaurant.
Restaurant. You're committed to that, yeah.
You haven't talked much about your food.
Oh, the food, lady. Trust me, you would love the food if you came to Twin Peaks. We have a menu. By the way, it's not like, Hooters, have a chicken wing. Our food makes it. It's sexy food. Sexy. Oh,
sexy food.
You can get a beef taco.
All right.
Beef taco.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And it comes, you can drizzle your own garlic aioli all over it if you want.
I think I see what's happening here.
You can get our two chicken breasts. Special. It's two chicken breasts, and you can add your own sausage if you want
to. You just sound like a horn dog rather than a guy who's running a restaurant.
Shut up.
Okay.
We also can have, you can get a bone-in ribeye. Would you like a bone-in ribeye?
Not from you, no.
And for dessert, how about for dessert, two giant scoops a vanilla ice cream. We're talking giant scoops. A scoop of ice cream as big as your head. Two of them side by side with cherries right there on the top. And then we bring you a can of whipped cream, and you put your own whipped cream all over it.
I've never heard someone so enthusiastic about a meal.
Oh, you can order it. You can get some of my special signature items.
You have signature items?
We do. How about some nipple chips?
Joe, what are nipple chips?
They are fried nipples.
What?
Made of what, though?
Nipples!
No, but they're not real. They're not actual nipples.
Why do you think we have artificial nipples?
Well, who would be real nipples?
Oh, they're delicious. You ever had a nipple?
No!
No!
Oh, it's so good.
No!
Why are you turning up your nose to my nipple chips?
Because it sounds like cannibalism. That's why.
They're not human nipples. What's wrong with you?
Well, we asked you that.
They're real, though. They're pig nipples.
Oh, nipples
from a real pig.
That is not sexy.
That's very different than human nipples.
It is.
It is. It's different, but not better.
Ass steak. What? You like some ass steak?
What's an ass steak?
It's an ass that we fry up like a steak, and we bring it to your table.
Huh.
What kind of animal is that?
Cow ass.
Okay.
Cow ass.
All right.
Or the low price, for just $5, we got the parking snack.
The what?
The parking snack is you just park outside the restaurant, you look through the window, we give you a basket of crackers, and you just take care of business.
Oh, no. Make your own sauce? No.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Jim Rome talks sports right after 8 a.m., as he does every Thursday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then we're going to give away some more tickets to go see U2 this weekend at the Rose Bowl. And then we have time for your phone calls on Chris Cornell. So a very packed 8 o'clock hour straight ahead. Ralph's here now with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Everyone talking about and trying to process, of course, the loss of Chris Cornell this morning. From what is being described, at least out of Detroit, as a suicide. But also another high-profile death this morning as we find that Roger Ailes, the man who created, crafted, and led Fox News for many years until he departed last year amid allegations of sexual harassment, he also has passed away at the age of 77. So we lost a good one, and we lost a bad one. So it's a wash, right? In the cosmic balance? In the cosmic scales? You know, the 50th anniversary of the Sgt. Pepper album is becoming a big deal.
June 1st?
Oh, June 1st, right?
Can't wait.
Oh, man.
Circled on my calendar.
June 1st!
Coming out a week from tomorrow, and some people are excited about it. Here's the thing. Do we really need anything new about Sgt. Pepper or the album or the Beatles?
Now you're talking. No.
I'm just saying, and I'm a Beatles fan.
No.
But got it. I know the album inside and out. I enjoy it. I love it. I appreciate it. Got it. Don't need really to do much more with that than
I don't know a lot about what they have planned for this new re-release, but my understanding is they're going to kind of take you inside the making of the album, and you'll see some of those songs come together, and apparently it'll deepen our understanding of how it was made.
Just gilding the lily, in my opinion. It's just it's a money grab.
It's not for everybody.
It's a money grab.
Not everybody needs
it. It's a money grab. And it's unnecessary. No one.
But aren't you fascinated with how songs are written and recorded and produced and built in the studio? I am.
You know, you're right. They really should look into the Beatles and about how they put their albums together and how their career was crafted. Someone should do like a documentary, or someone should do a deep dive into that history.
But I feel like Ralph is saying asked and answered.
But this is the first time they've ever gone into the vault and pulled the actual original tapes of the Sgt. Pepper sessions and let us be a fly on the wall as those songs were being built. That's
Enjoy
why I'm interested.
It.
You're a fly on something else. You're not a fly on a wall. You're a fly on something else. Because the Beatles, and I'm a musical expert, don't get me wrong, but I trust the Beatles to pick out what they thought were the best tracks to put on that album and then release it. Case in point, now they're talking about the 50th anniversary of the White Album that they're starting to do this process with, and all the extra stuff and the accoutrement, as the Winnebago man would say. And they're talking about, here's the thing, George Martin, the son of Giles Martin, the son of George Martin, who was their producer, said they're going through a lot of stuff. And he goes, there are 70 takes of a song called Sexy Sadie.
70?
Right. Mm-hmm. So they're going through those to find out which of those they need to put on the newly reissued album.
I think we know it's number 69, right?
There's a 30-minute version of Helter Skelter.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. I would love to hear that.
No, you wouldn't.
Nobody
yes,
did
I that. Would. That's you, fantastic.
No.
Minute 13, you would say, how long is this going on?
I didn't even know that existed. That's fantastic
it's
news.
It's not fantastic. It's completely unnecessary. And the Beatles said, oh, you know what? That's too long. Let's cut it down into 4 minutes and put it on the album.
Good idea. Let's do that.
Oh, I'm hungry. There's a behind-the-scenes look at what happened when they made that album.
Was that Ringo weighing in with I'm hungry
Ringo,
at the end?
Ringo was hungry.
He didn't have a lot to do that day.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, too, thank you for the great news, Ralph. I'm glad that you're right there with me with excitement. That was my takeaway.
Isn't it exhausting to be as wrong as you are as often as you are?
Look, I'm not pretending that it's the definitive version of Helter Skelter or that it needs to be played on the radio or that it's for everybody. What I'm saying is, as a huge fan of the Beatles, I would enjoy hearing that. That's all I'm saying. Right? It can't hurt anyone else that it exists. If it's not for you, don't listen
to
it.
No, but let me ask you this. Can any one song last 30 minutes and be great?
Have you ever heard Helter Skelter, by the way?
Yeah.
Which, really... And 3 minutes is like, okay, we got it. We understand it. We know you can play those chords.
Right.
I'm just saying.
That's a great effing song, Helter Skelter.
At 3 minutes, you're absolutely right. It's a great little rock nugget at 3 minutes.
At 7 minutes, it's long as hell.
At 12 minutes, now you're getting angry. Now you hate the Beatles. What do you have to happen when you're clocking in at 30 minutes? What's happening?
Look, I've been to a lot of Grateful Dead concerts, so perhaps I have a high tolerance for the jam session.
Well, plus all the drugs you do.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
That's real talk right there, man.
And the White Album's my favorite Beatles album, too, so I'll listen to anything from that.
At minute 30, listen to Helter Skelter, you're petitioning for Mark David Chapman's release, right? Right? Isn't that how you feel?
No, not at all. Yeah.
Oh. Hey, Ridley Scott, who's just a genius filmmaker. Let me give you a little rundown.
Okay.
Alien, Blade Runner, Black Hawk Down, Thelma and Louise, Gladiator, American Jesus. Gangster, The Martian. Right?
Yeah. All great.
He was on hand yesterday. He got his hands and feet encased in cement outside Los Angeles' Chinese theater yesterday.
Oh, poor guy. Were they able to get him free?
Holy
That's crap. A terrible tragedy. He just got stuck? Was it just wet cement he just accidentally stepped in, or? What? How?
Let's see how long it'll go.
Don't do this, Pete.
Let's see.
That's true.
He's just walking down the sidewalk. He just tripped, and the poor man just got stuck.
Bean, fix your goddamn life.
Okay.
Harrison Ford was on hand for the ceremony, and Ridley turned and said he was an effing nightmare to work with. As a joke.
Oh.
everyone had a good laugh, except for you people. Everyone else had a good laugh. And his latest Alien movie is opening tomorrow. No, I'm sure it was just a coincidence that he got his hands and feet.
That's how it works. Usually it's a coincidence.
Cement outside the theater, and this movie is coming out. Mm-hmm. But he said, as he does in the commercials, he said to the crowd, I'm hoping to scare the S out of you. If I don't, I'm in trouble. So that's his goal. He hates you. Ridley Scott hates you.
I don't think that's the message.
That's my point. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chow Yun-fat, very famous international movie star, 62 years old today. Tina Fey is 47, and Jack Johnson is 42. Hey, by the way, I want to remind folks, 10 p.m. tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose, it's Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Me and Kevin Smith going to take the stage, and we're going to treat you right. Come on out and join us. It's Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Go to improv.com for your tickets.
I believe the answer is a resounding yes.
Oh!
Whoa. You finally won her over!
She's going to be there!
How about that? That was a surprise!
Oh, I'm very excited. See you there, lady. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:05 on Thursday morning.
Tell you how you can win your tickets to see U2 at the Rose Bowl this weekend immediately after our conversation with our good friend Jim Rome, the host of the Jim Rome Show, jimrome.com, from 9 till noon weekdays. You can catch the podcast at play.it and iTunes. And Jim, let me start before we get into any sports and say congratulations on your nomination to the National Radio Hall of Fame, my friend.
Way to jinx it, bro. Way to jinx it. Thank you very much. I'm just so glad you guys are both here today. I love it when both you dudes show up.
What's it's rare. On? It is rare.
You guys are in the Hall of Fame, so like, what's it like?
It's the same.
It's really just the same.
Nothing changed?
Nothing.
It means good.
Couldn't mean less. Could not mean less.
Good, that's what I'm probably not getting in, so that's good to hear.
Just a big waste of time. All right. Well, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Lakers got their dream wish and got the number 2 pick in the draft this week. And by all accounts, it looks like they've got no choice but to pick Lonzo Ball. I can't get excited about this. I know people think he's a great basketball player. I'm sorry. His dad hitching a ride on that train is just not something I want to hear about for the next 10 years. What are you thinking, Jim?
You know, I think that if they keep that pick and they use it on the kid, I'm not concerned about the old man. Like, the old man, I understand why there's some fatigue and people are burned out on him, but understand this. He might be able to get the local high school coach fired allegedly. He might have been able to save Steve Alford's job at UCLA, probably, but this is not Chino Hills High or even UCLA. It's the LA freaking Lakers. He's not going to mess with a Hall of Famer like Magic or a GM like Rob Pelinka or a coach like Luke Walton. I mean, yeah, people will keep sticking mics and cameras in his face, but it won't matter, at least not to the people who do. Don't sweat the old man. Does not matter.
But even,
does not matter.
Even stories like that nice lady on Fox Sports 1 that he dressed down yesterday, that stay in your lane lady. I mean, I don't need stuff like that in my feed all day.
No, I agree, but you want to make that thing go away, just ignore it. I mean, the guy, literally, he could not interest me any less. I'm not going to hot take off his hot takes. So when the old man actually scores in an NBA game, then I will talk about him. Until then, I really couldn't care less. I could not care less about what he says or does. I'm not going to feed into that. I'm not going to give him what he wants. Just look the other way. Dude, don't sweat that.
All right,
first of all, the kid's nothing like his old man. That's the good news, right?
Yeah,
he's a really nice player and a really good dude and a good teammate. He's nothing like the old man. They should take him if he's on the board.
Okay, he's nothing like the old man, but he also is then a victim of the old man saying, hey, sell $500 sneakers that does nothing but to make the kid look bad.
You know, at some point, the kid, like every other child star, is going to have to go to the stage mom or the stage dad and say, hey, yo, can you roll off me? But I will say, in his defense, when you're a young person coming up in the NBA or any sport, you really don't know who you can trust. I mean, at least he knows that the old man loves him, has his back, and can trust him. But at some point, trust me, he's going to break loose. He's going to break free. I don't think that it bothers him. I think he's going to take care of his business. He's lived with the old man his entire life. So as much as it's an annoyance to the rest of us, it's not to him, and it won't be to the Lakers.
And it's not a distraction to the team.
No, I don't think it will be. I mean, not at that level.
Okay.
Don't let it be. They won't.
All right. That makes me feel a little better. Now let's see what you can do for our little friend Chip, who's sad to see her beloved Anaheim Ducks down 2-1 against the Predators. The Predators turn out to be a pretty good team, Jim.
Hey, Chip, I'm here for you. I'm here to tell you, Chip, that everything's going to be just fine. It's going to be all good. No, it won't. hey, look, you know I love the Ducks, but let's go ahead and start with the bad news. They're down 2-1, and tonight is essentially a must-win game for the Ducks. And the Preds are pretty much unbeatable at home, Chip. You know they're fast. You know they're deep. You know they put pressure on the opposition. Watching Game 3, it felt like they were playing a man short for most of the game. The Ducks can't skate with these guys. And if you can't skate with them, Chip, as you know, you have to mug them. But you can't hit what you can't catch. It does not look good, I hate to say. Now, you want good news?
Yeah.
There is none. No, the good news is the Ducks are resilient. They were down to the Preds last year. They came back to even that series. They trailed Edmonton this year. They came back to beat them.
Okay.
John Gibson is standing on his head. Chip loves them. Freaking Ducks, they can do this. Go Ducks. Go Ducks. They can do this.
You just said there's no hope. That was two hot takes in a row from Jim. They were completely contradictory.
And I love it
because we can take our pick for which one we care to believe.
Yeah, if you say both things, you can't be wrong. I'm talking both sides of my mouth.
That is fantastic,
awesome.
Jim.
I'm awesome.
You just made everybody happy
today. You hear
that,
Allie? I'm awesome.
I heard it, and I don't disagree.
Wake up, Allie.
I'm here.
All right.
You don't disagree or you do agree.
I don't disagree, and I agree.
Oh, nice. Both are true. Yes.
Quite an endorsement.
All right, let's talk about
getting nice.
And I know you've been fascinated in following your man Conor McGregor for a long time, Jim. Apparently, he has signed his side of the deal to fight Floyd Mayweather. Bring us up to speed with where we are in this and how likely it is to happen at this point.
So, Conor has signed, quote, a record-breaking deal. So the question is the fight going to happen and is it going to be any good? Just because Conor signed does not mean that it's going to happen, but obviously it's a big step in the right direction. And as always, there is way too much money on the table, way too many stacks for it not to happen. So I think it probably will.
You do.
But then if we get it, I do. There's just too much money for it not to happen. But then if we do get it, is it going to be any good? Look, the press conference is going to be awesome, and then the fight won't be, and then everybody will be pissed. But it's a big, fat cash grab.
And a guy like
fat cash grab, I said.
Right.
You know what that is? That, people, is the fat alarm.
Oh,
that
nice.
Goes off anytime any athlete or celebrity gains 1 pound, and all my listeners want me to comment on it. That was so weird, man. Look at that guy. That guy got really fat. What do you think, Rome? I don't know. He should push away from the table. Right here. I'm like a 50-year-old guy. Personal appearances are not show fodder. Hey, Rome, look how fat Meatloaf is. You see that? Yeah, I just don't care. So that's why we have the fat alarm.
I like that. That's awesome.
Floyd Mayweather, though.
You think that's weird? I'm just getting started, Alex.
Floyd is old.
I know what you're thinking before you think it.
He's old, and he's retired. The money is so great that he doesn't care about his legacy or doesn't think it will matter about his legacy because it's not straight-up boxing match.
Such a good question. Look, this guy, he has never taken any unnecessary chances. Floyd loves that he is unbeaten. There's no way he would put his legacy or his rep on the line if there was any risk here. There's no risk for Floyd. Like, I love Conor McGregor. He's one of my favorite athletes ever. But you're asking a guy who has never boxed before to beat arguably the greatest boxer ever. That's why Floyd's all in. There's no risk whatsoever to him. He can't lose. Conor can't win. They both get paid.
All right, last question then. Even though, by all accounts, and your analysis confirms it, it will be a terrible fight, you still can't resist putting down your $110, right?
Oh, I'm down.
You gotta get it.
$75, $100, $110, I'm down. I know I'm going to be bitter. I know I'm going to be disappointed. And I'll be first in line to throw down. I'm there. So that's another contradictory statement.
Tim is arguing with himself a lot today.
Down is up, black is white, day is night.
JimRome.com from 9 till noon again today. And don't forget, if you miss any portion of the show, Jim Rome's Daily Jungle is a great podcast. Play.it or iTunes as well. Congratulations again on the nomination, Jim. We love you. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll do it again next week.
Love you guys. See you then.
Sir. Thank you. All right. You too. You guys ready?
Yeah.
U2 is playing the Rose Bowl this weekend. We've got tickets for you at 1-800-520-1067. I forgot what game we're playing. Any hints?
It's not easy.
No.
It's not an easy game?
Correct. Some would say hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So 1-800-520-1067. You want to play for U2 tickets? We'll do that next on K-Rock. We're going to remember our friend Chris Cornell again in a couple of minutes, play some more music from him, and take your calls. But first, let's take care of some business. U2 is playing this weekend, you guys, at the Rose Bowl doing the 30th anniversary Joshua Tree Tour. By all accounts, by the way, the early dates on the tour have been amazing. So you're really in for a great time. We're taking calls now at 1-800-520-1067. Giving away some U2 tickets. This game, however, is not easy.
It's the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Mr. Announcer Man.
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
We are delighted that you are joining us. I mentioned the game is not easy. You want to describe for the callers how it's played, please?
We will play for you a clip from a U2 song. All you need to do is identify it.
Oh, that sounds easy.
That doesn't sound very hard.
Oh, I almost forgot. It'll be backwards.
That does sound difficult.
It's right. The hardest game in the world, too.
Although with Depeche Mode, they were the same both directions.
This is very different.
Okay. All right. So get it right. Go into the drawing. Who's our first player, please?
First up is Sadie. She's from Paramount. She works it for Paramount. Hi. Yeah. That's what it says here in my comment.
I think that might be IT.
She works it. Yeah. Work it, Sadie.
Is it it or IT?
Work it.
Sadie.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. How are you? We're good. Okay, you ready for your song?
And I've wasted all that energy for nothing.
All right, here's your song. Just tell us the name of it. It's backwards. I like it. Allie, you want to finish that? Sadie. Hi. Yes, what is that?
Yes.
Could you say a title, please, of a U2 song?
U2 song.
Name a song.
Bean, you're so grouchy. Take it easy.
I'm not grouchy.
Give her a chance.
Bean really helps people while they're struggling, doesn't he?
Well, but
We
just don't have all day.
Name a U2 song.
We're here.
What song,
Sadie?
Sadie, we're here. Go ahead. Guess.
Was it Sunday, Bloody Sunday?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Bullet the Blue Sky.
I can't buzz you fast enough.
Well, that's wrong.
Name a song.
Holy crap. Yeah.
How long were you going to wait on the phone for her to come up with any goddamn title?
Another 4 or 5 seconds,
You
Bean.
Know you're going to be asked for a U2 song.
Lord.
All right, who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Some people get nervous when they play games on the radio.
Right? Who's next?
Next up is Brianna. She makes beats. Yeah.
making beats.
it's not a sexy thing to say.
Yeah, let's make some beats.
All right, Brianna, you ready?
I'm ready.
You better hurry, or Bean will eat you for lunch.
You have 3/4 of a second to come up with an answer after you hear this song. What U2 song is that?
It's so distortion. Okay, that U2 song is going to be called Runaway.
Sorry, that's I Will Follow.
This game is not easy, Mr. Announcer Man.
It's not with you, that's for sure. Next up is a Lanier.
I'm doubting that's right.
Can't make out the rest of what it says there.
What's your name, sir?
My name's Alani.
What's your name, young lady?
Alani. Okay.
Alani. Okay.
Alani. Not what that says at all. It says Eloani.
I mean, it may have been spelled poorly. Okay. Are you ready
from
for your
song? From Daddy, she's a student.
Yeah.
You ready for your song?
I am.
Here you go. That's not easy.
It's the hardest game.
No, it is not.
It's hard.
Fresh Streets Have No Name.
Sorry, it's Pride.
All right, we are getting dangerously close to sudden death territory here, you guys.
All right, who's next?
Next up is Mark. He's from Silver Lake. He's a screenwriter and, I'm guessing, barista.
What's your day job, Mark, when you're not writing and selling scripts?
I'm actually writing and selling scripts.
All right.
How about that? Look at that.
Yay. It is a success, you guys.
Good for you, Mark.
All right. Are you ready?
I don't know. Let's do it.
Here we go. What?
Crap.
What song is that?
Oh, man. I want to say Vertigo, but I don't know if that's
you
right.
Should say Vertigo.
Say that.
I'll say Vertigo.
Yes!
All right, Mark is in the drawing. Well done.
The
how about
one
that?
Guy that gets it right doesn't want to say it.
All right, we got time for a couple more now, Mr. Announcer Man. I'm feeling energized. Who do you got?
Wow.
Next up is Joe. He's from Riverside, and he's a poo changer.
What?
He's a what?
That's what it says here.
Joe, what do you do?
I'm a plumbing contractor.
Oh, that's very different.
I see. That's the poo. Okay, are you ready for your song?
Yep.
Here you go.
Streets Have No Name.
Sorry, that's With or Without You.
Plan for U2 tickets at the Rose Bowl. Okay, one more, Mr. Announcer Man.
Aracel from Fullerton. Maybe?
What's your name? What's your name, Aracel Lee?
Aracelli. Hi, Kevin and Dave.
Aracelli. Hi. Hi. All right, are you ready for your U2 song?
I guess.
I think we're in sudden death, so if she misses, then Mark wins.
Okay.
Yes. If she gets it, then okay. She goes into the drawing. You ready? Mm-hmm. Here's your song. What U2 no song idea. Is that? What?
I'm just going to have to guess.
I'm not saying anything.
In the Name of Love.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's a beautiful day. All right, let's do a drawing, everybody.
So this is how
all
it right. is. Not with a bag, but with a whimper.
It's going to be Mark or Mark. What I'm going to take to you to your restaurant.
It's going to be Silver Lake's Mark.
Mark!
Yeah!
You win. Woo! Enjoy you two at the Rose Bowl, and thanks for playing the game. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you. This could be my failure.
This
sure don't mind the change.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is the late, great Chris Cornell.
From the 562, and by the way, we're taking your phone calls and your texts right now with your memories and thoughts on the late Chris Cornell, 1-800-520-1067. Candace writes in out of Whittier, "Hey guys, just wanted to say we were all fortunate enough to have witnessed one of the greatest rock voices of all time in our generation. Can't believe he is gone. And if you ever needed any proof of that, that performance on the Kevin and Bean Show from a couple of years ago is all you need to hear." It still gives me chills when I hear that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that most singers need some kind of help. Yeah. Boosting when they go into the studio and they need a little auto tune to make sure
right?
that they're...
Yeah.
He was perfect.
At 7 in the morning.
Yeah. It was pretty flawless, that's for sure. So let's take a couple of calls here. Why don't we start with, let's go to Matt Azusa. He's up first, line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for calling on this very sad day.
Hey, party people. Rough news to wake up to, I got to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Chris Cornell, his voice, I always likened it to just sonic fury. It was just beautiful. It could also be raging at the time. I gotta give it up because the album Super Unknown kept me alive on a trip from LA to Yosemite with my family in the car. And if you know the trip from LA to Yosemite, it's a good 7 hours time. Mm-hmm. So I was able to listen to that album, ready for this, on audio cassette on my Walkman in 1994. Wow. And the batteries died just before we reached a town called Coarse Gold. And I said, we need to get batteries before I kill all of you.
Okay.
And hear the rest of this album.
Did your family hate you?
No, they didn't hate me because I kept to myself. I just kept listening to the album in the car, just realizing that things like Fell on Black Days and Black Hole Sun were like going to be the anthems of the year. They were just great songs.
You knew those songs would last forever.
Yeah, they hold up.
Once the Black Hole Sun video hit MTV, forget it. It was just all the way.
Yep. And I'm glad you brought up the point, Matt, about the unbelievable range in Chris Cornell's voice, because there are people who are great ballad singers and they can't rock your face off. Chris Cornell could do both. You know, he could do that song we just heard, his acoustic Fell on Black Days, but then he could also do Spoon Man and scream like crazy and be great. So he was very versatile and a very nice man. Thank you for the call, Matt. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jody West Hills up next, line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jody, welcome to the Kevin and Bean
Show.
Hi.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Long-time listener, big fan, Ralph.
Thank you.
Right. Anyway,
what are you calling about?
I'm calling about Chris. I got a good story. When I was I played with the Seahawks many, many moons ago in the early 90s, and I remember when they were shooting singles, I was a friend of some of the producers that was up there, so they invited me out to the set the day they blew the windows out of the car. And I had no idea who Chris Cornell was. I didn't know he was a guy. He was just another guy who was standing next to me the whole day. We were just chatting back and forth. So we spent the whole day together, and we exchanged numbers back in the day, and we kept in touch. He was never bigger than himself. And he was I woke up this morning just listening when I pulled in. He said, take messages, and I'm just blown away to hear that someone that I thought was just a sweet, endearing soul had committed suicide.
That's the thing that makes it difficult, as well, as that his spirit, his energy was so not superstar. It so didn't match his amazing great voice. You would never know that he was that talented when you stand next to him and exchange numbers and say hi.
He could have been a dick. Well, he could have been a dick. Yeah, he would have had every right to be.
I had fallen out of touch with him for the last 10 years. I had seen or heard or talked to him at all. And then, but prior to that, when he would come to town, there would be the little intimate luncheons. We would just get together and say hello and have, we'd go to Jerry's and sit on dining. This is Chris Cornell. And back to the guy I was just speaking, his voice was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's so distinct.
Well, you're lucky to, as we are, we're all lucky to have known him and been able to spend whatever time we had with him. Jody, I appreciate you calling and sharing your thoughts today. Thank you so much for listening, sir. Let's try, let's go to Marcos Camarillo up next, please. Back on line one, if we could.
Hey, Marcos.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up that performance he did when he sang John Lennon's Imagine on the Almost Acoustic Christmas, and it was just probably the most memorable performance I've ever seen, especially that night, because there was a lot of good performers. He performed like Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco.
That was 2015, right?
Yeah, that was just 2 years ago. And the band was on the Weenie Roast just in 2012, too, when Soundgarden got back together. And you never saw a bad performance from Chris Cornell.
Yeah, but it was just amazing. He went out there, just, it was just him on a, sitting on a chair. And yeah. He just blew it out the door.
It was really, it seemed like a difficult task because everybody else was so high energy. Yeah. And he just went out there with a guitar and sat down and just ruled.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
an
amazing night.
A lot of people there didn't really know who he was, but I mean, it was definitely a memorable performance by him.
I agree.
Glad you got to see it, Marcus. Thank you, by the way, thank you for the calls, everybody in the text as well. Let's also not forget, so dreamy, right?
I mean,
I don't think that's the point.
I mean, that's not the headline. That's not the top thing. Right, but just on top of everything else, we're talking about how talented and how nice he was, but super dreamy, too.
Okay, I wish we had gotten out like 30 seconds ago. Who's with me? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Thursday morning. Time to take a look at a showbiz beat now with Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Of course, everyone talking still about the late, great Chris Cornell, who passed away last night, and another high-profile death people talking about this morning was Roger Ailes, who, of course, was in the news a ton recently. Not only did he create and pretty much craft and lead Fox News for its entirety, but just recently got pushed out late last year because of sexual harassment charges and allegations that were levied against him. The Murdoch family had to cut him loose. He was 77 years old, and apparently he passed away this morning, so a lot of death in the news. Let's move on to happier things, shall we? Like the fact that Taylor Swift's going to be heartbroken soon.
Which we can look forward to.
That'll
be a good thing. Because she's dating someone. And that means eventually that person will get an ass full of her BS and walk away. And then she'll write a ton of songs. And that person at least will be free. And that's the price you pay.
Or it'll be true love, and they'll be together for years and years and be very happy.
And you're basing that on what, Bean?
You don't, because,
look. Her past?
She's 20, what?
Every relationship she's had?
26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Not every relationship is going to last forever when you're 26. It's pretty normal to date for a while, then break up.
Mm-hmm.
And then write songs about the person?
Now she's getting to the age where, who knows, maybe she'll find the one. Let's all hope so. Let's wish her nothing but happiness.
I wish her the Fargo air conditioner is what I wish her. She's dating a guy named Joe Alwyn. Alwyn is apparently a British actor. And according to the UK Daily Mail, their newspaper, he is a quintessential panty dropper.
What's he doing with her then?
Yeah, really.
I mean,
there's
honestly.
So many other panties I'd rather drop.
Right.
Before I got to her granny panties. You know she wears granny panties, too.
Oh, my God.
With flowers.
Let her live.
Stretched out elastic on the top.
Oh, come on.
And
why would you, Ralph? You're disgusting.
He's disgusting, but he's right.
Let's talk about a woman that we like. Jennifer Lawrence in the news.
There you go.
I feel bad for her. One tabloid site showed off a little footage of her cutting loose at a gentleman's club. Where she got up and worked the pole a little bit for fun.
Because she's awesome.
Because she is awesome. And she lashed out on Facebook defending her actions. Said I dropped my paranoia guard for 1 second to have fun, she complained. And someone snapped some illicit footage of her and then sold it to a tabloid website. But she's not apologizing, God bless her. She said, you know what, I think my dancing is pretty good, and I had a blast. So
that's what I love about her.
That's why we all love her so much.
She seems to handle publicity in the press like it's nothing.
She handles it just right every time. She's the anti-Taylor Swift.
Exactly, that's what she is.
She's like Bizarro Swift.
Yes.
She's Swift-Zaro. If that means anything to anyone.
I don't think it does.
It doesn't. This could be interesting. American Crime Story that gave us, of course, the O.J. Simpson series that was so beloved and won so many awards.
Right.
They are doing Versace, of course. Mm-hmm. The American Crime Story, true story of the murder of Gianni Versace by serial killer Andrew Cunanan in Miami. And they're also doing the true story of Hurricane Katrina and its aftermath in New Orleans in 2005.
Oof, that's going to be sad.
Yeah, and they are casting it as we speak. Annette Bening will play Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco in the series. Matthew Broderick will play the head of FEMA, Michael Brown. And they just cast George W., the president. Dennis Quaid will play George W. Bush. I think it's perfect casting. I think he's going to be excellent in that role. So, there you go.
Did you see the footage? I don't know if it's new or old, but I saw it today online.
It was yesterday.
A reporter at a baseball game was doing a report, and George W. walked behind and just sort of photobombed.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. It was pretty sweet.
I like him so much more now.
Isn't it crazy?
Those were the good old days.
Oh, man. It's like you think you have a pain, like in your shoulder, right? And then someone comes along and like shoots you with a shotgun in the other shoulder. You're like, oh, this shoulder feels great now. Because the other shoulder, my arm's hanging off.
Photobombed them. If they held a surprise election today and said, all right, you can vote and have George W. Bush be president for the rest of your life, I would vote for the yes.
Yes, of course. Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage once again at the Improv on Melrose to do a little Hollywood Babylon for you.
No.
You know us. You love us. Can't live without us. We're going to have a good time. Come out and join us Friday night, 10 p.m. for The Late Show tomorrow night. Go to improv.com, click on Hollywood, and the rest.
No.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, no.
Rodney, you going to be there? Rodney, coming out?
No.
Oh, all right. Today's celebrity birthday is Chow Yun-Fat. He is 62 years old today. Tina Fey. Love her.
Same.
47 years old today. Speaking of Tina Fey and SNL, quick shout out to my buddy, Bobby Moynihan, who has announced he is leaving the show after 9 years, moving on to do his own sitcom on CBS. But I always loved him on that show.
He's very talented.
One of my highlights.
Very funny.
For that show. Jack Johnson is also celebrating a birthday today. He is 42.
That'll be barefoot.
I bet he will. He's going to get some bubbly toes.
We should play some highlights of that practice. When we were at the Coachella and the truck kept backing up.
Beep, beep, beep. We had breakfast with him up at the Sagebrush Cantina.
Yes, we did. Did that too, yeah.
And he was bubbling toes and his ass off up there. That was what it was.
I like Jack Johnson. It's not.
I do too.
I don't pull out his.
Beaton wants a 30-minute version of bubbly toes. Right? He likes to go into the vault and pull up.
His music a lot to listen to, but every once in a while you hear it and you go, hey, that guy sounds good. Chip found a little audio from the breakfast that we did out at Coachella.
Oh, great.
With the truck. That's
exciting times.
K-Rock.
That was an exclusive. That was a K-Rock exclusive. Nobody has that mix.
And that truck that would version. Not stop.
We said somebody, we were like, please, 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 we're just trying to...
Nope.
Well, the man's making a living. No time for your radio shenanigans. It's on time, at least. It's on beat for the most part.
Remix!
Good times.
What are you doing?
That was the next words of Bubbly Toast.
Yeah, but don't do it like you're in a coma.
I am.
Sing or don't sing.
I am, Ralph.
She sort of is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations, Corey Jens from Canyon Country. Just got tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, which is Saturday. Your next chance to win is at noon and then at 3 and 6 p.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Get your details at K-Rock.com to win those pit tickets all day long. When I first heard the reports this morning that Chris Cornell had died last night at just age 52, I first thought, it had to be some sort of freak medical condition. I mean, obviously the guy was in phenomenal shape, did a very spirited show on stage at the Fox Theater in Detroit last night. I mean, this must just be out of the blue, such a shocking health crisis. And then the report started coming out from the police in Detroit that it looked like an apparent suicide. And I know I'm an idiot, but I still can't get my head around that. You look at Chris Cornell from the outside, he has everything, but it's a very different life to live inside his brain, I guess. And I thought maybe our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky might be able to talk us through it at drdrew.com. Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning. I'm sad. I mean, it's a sad day. I mean, Chris Cornell, we've all met him. He's a great guy. And it is indeed hard to imagine how someone that seems to have everything anyone would wish for would then end their life. It really, and Bean, I appreciate how confusing it is to you, because I think it is to anyone, and it really sort of shines a bright light on how sort of capricious suicidality is. Not everybody develops suicidal thoughts almost under any circumstances, and some people are prone to them. So some of it is sort of genetic.
How can you be prone to them? What do you mean it can be passed down from a parent?
Some of it is genetic. Some are very not a big amount, but some of it is. Some of it is the chronicity of what's going on, the chronic depression or trauma history,
right,
or maybe somebody's confronting some terrible stress in their life. But even then, a lot of people would never contemplate suicide. So it is something sort of in people. I'm sure we're going to find out, you know, that something more was going on here that we all know, and there are risk factors for it. Things like being male, being middle aged, having depression, having had chest surgery, medication, substance abuse, relapse from substance abuse. All these things are independent risk factors for depression. So, just a middle-aged male already, he's sort of in a category where the risk factors go quite a bit higher. I don't know, did he ever have a substance history?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so that
so he's checking a lot of boxes already.
Yeah, yeah, and you worry, has there been a major loss? Was there some grief? Was he relapsing? I mean, this all kind of adds up. And it seems there's a kind of an interest. There are many different subsets of suicidality. Like the addicts, when they commit suicide, are often trying to kill the addict rather than themselves. It's a very strange dichotomy. They want the disease to stop. They don't want to stop living, but they don't see any way out. Another category is people that are in such intense pain. The pain of depression is so profound that they literally can't tolerate it another second. It's just sort of a way out. And some people would even argue kind of a rational way out in that moment. But all suicidality resolves. It always gets better. That's why we put people on hold for 3 days, and it passes. And then they go, gee, thank you for helping me. I don't know where that came from. However, there are subgroups, again, that are particularly scary, that really have deep chronic intentions to do it. They don't tell people very much. They start giving this stuff away, and they just do it. And that often is the middle-aged male.
Now, how surprised should we be? And Allie has been talking about this all day long today, is look, the people on the outside that just follow Chris Cornell's social media, he looked like a regular, happy, working, touring musician. There's no way to know. But clearly somebody in the family knew there was problems. I mean, that's why somebody called the hotel and said, hey, I haven't heard from Chris or whatever. Please go check on him, right? I mean, if you're close to Chris Cornell, somebody knew something,
somebody knew
right?
Something, yeah. I mean, whether it's say, hey, he'd relapsed and we're worried about that, or whether he'd just been depressed and worried about that, or whether he had some major loss or some new medical diagnosis or something, if people, maybe he'd been isolating and withdrawing and just gave people a bad feeling, it doesn't necessarily mean he'd said, I want to kill myself. Right? You know, that is not everybody that commits suicide.
No, and this is not a substantiated fact, but apparently his wife called and asked somebody to check on him. So that's sort of where people are getting that idea from.
Now, the human brain is very powerful, Dr. Drew, as you know, and people get good at compartmentalizing. Look how often you and I have talked about people who are heavy, heavy drug addicts, but you never know it because they're still able to do their job, right? People can do a lot of things. Chris Cornell is not only chatting with people at the Fox Theater last night and apparently in a great mood, he's doing a phenomenal show with lots of witty stage banter, talking about what a great night he's having and how much fun he's having. It's almost inconceivable that same person could turn that totally around an hour later.
It does mean throw into question the veracity, the truth of this report that it's suicidality. I mean, do we know for sure that's what this was? I mean, we're still saying suspect.
Yeah, I don't think
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you that if that's the fact, if he literally was, seemingly joyous and free moments before, that's hard to understand unless we get more information, such as his family telling us, oh, no, he's had chronic suicidal thoughts and this has been going on for a while and he finally just, did it or whatever. There's missing pieces of this story to make sense of it, and that's why we're all shaking our head, going, what the hell happened? What is this? It doesn't make sense. And indeed, it doesn't make sense yet, and more to be revealed as they say.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you about, and that is the people who are left behind after a suicide are going to think for the rest of their lives, why didn't I know? Why couldn't I help them? Why didn't I do more? How do those people not blame themselves forever if somebody they know does take his own life?
Yeah, I think you have to get a little bit philosophical about it. You got to realize that suicide is a symptom of a brain disorder, and you have to kind of conceptualize brain illness like any other illness. It's a medical condition, just like if he had died of a heart attack and you didn't really realize he had serious heart disease, he had a serious brain disease. Maybe you didn't realize that you can't know everything. His brain disease took him, and you have to realize some of these things are outside of your control. You wish you could control them. You can do things just like we could have intervened on his heart disease. Again, he didn't have heart disease, but metaphorically, if somebody had heart disease, of course, if you had a hint, you'd intervene on that. But even then, people would put you off. They've got to go on tour, whatever. There are reasons that things happen with the biological system, and the brain is just no different.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. That's a great, healthy attitude if you can adopt it for sure. Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Mike Catherwood today, once again on 790 KABC. Lots of great podcasts coming out of the Dr. Drew Podcast Factory at drdrew.com. And don't forget, if you need a doctor, you can see one in the comfort of your own home. On-demand house calls. It's the Heal app, available in the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for the time, Doc. We'll do it again next week.
You, anytime, guys. We'll see you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
I've just seen the Chester Bennington post about his friend Chris Cornell. Ralph, do you have this or can I read a little bit
Go.
Of this? My wife just told me my friend passed away. Thoughts of you, he's addressed this to Chris Cornell, flooded my mind and I wept. I'm still weeping with sadness as well as gratitude for having shared some very special moments with you and your beautiful family. You have inspired me in many ways you could never have known. Your talent was pure and unrivaled. Your voice was joy and pain, anger and forgiveness, love and heartache all wrapped into one. And it goes on and on from there. If you want to see it, we do have it up at krock.com. But Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, just one of the many, many artists who are weighing in on the loss of Chris Cornell last night at just 52. All right, it's at 941. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Another high-profile death in the news. Roger Ailes, the man who created and led Fox News for many, many years until he departed last year amid allegations of sexual harassment. He passed away at the age of 77, and I'm sure his family is very sad.
Are you sure of that, even?
I'm sure.
But likely just them, if anyone, right?
Danny Trejo is the man, first of all. Trejo's Tacos, of course, a smash hit. The guy was a movie star forever, and then just a wildly successful restaurateur.
Mm-hmm.
He opened his new joint, Trejo's Coffee and Donuts, on Tuesday there in Hollywood. I pass it each morning as on my way to work. It's right there at Highland and Santa Monica. And it was an old donut shop before then, before they closed it down. They went out of business, then Trejo's took it over. And this is much more high-end. It's got specialty donuts and gourmet coffee. Opened on Tuesday, sold out of donuts the morning they opened. And these are not just your average donuts. These are donuts like the nacho donut with jalapeno salsa and cheddar cheese.
Okay. What else?
I don't have to eat that one, do I?
What else?
The vegan banana cake. The tres leches. These are all apparently their signature donuts. Anyway, sold out on Tuesday on their opening. Then Dave the King of Mexico said he went by yesterday to get a donut at Trejo's. Big sign on the door. Closed. Out of donuts. Come back tomorrow. Hey, Danny, make more donuts.
This is machete.
Right. But plan better.
That's a good problem to have, right? If you're a donut shop, is that so many people are buying your donuts
right
that you're out. Unless you're making like six donuts. And then.
But make an adjustment is what I'm saying.
So make more donuts,
right? Yes.
Anyway, you can check it out for yourself. Go early is what I'm saying.
I think
they don't linger.
We're sending mugs in the morning to get some for us. We can try them.
Great. Get one of those nacho donuts.
Yeah, I think we have to at least try it.
Well, we got to make mugs try it at
right,
least.
That's what I meant.
So we can all watch. Jennifer Lawrence is the best.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the footage on the tabloid website or not, but she is, in this footage, enjoying herself at a gentleman's club. She jumped up on stage. She's doing a little pole dancing. That's all. All in good fun. And as I mentioned, one of the tabloid sites got a hold of the footage. And she lashed out on Facebook, understandably, defending her actions. She would not be shamed. She said she dropped her paranoia guard for 1 second to have fun. And that's when somebody grabbed that footage, but she says she thinks her dancing's pretty good and she had a blast.
So see, that's why I love her.
No apologies from her.
That's why I love her.
She had a good time.
Let me ask you a question about being a stripper. Can I see your boobs?
That's not.
I'm disappointed that this got put up online, but I did nothing wrong and I'm happy with myself.
What a drag it must be to go out and have some cocktails and want to act goofy and then the next thing you know, it's up on a website someplace.
That's why you don't want to be famous, you guys.
She handles it well, though.
I still think the upside is bigger than the downside, but King Kong! It's coming to Broadway. It's so funny, because in the original film, they took King Kong to Broadway, and then, Kevin, what happened?
He climbed a building.
Right.
And then
he got loose and climbed the Empire State Building.
Right.
They had to shoot him down.
And then they shot him down. It's very sad.
So King Kong is coming to Broadway. The Broadway musical King Kong.
musical based on the Big Hairy Ape, will be at the Broadway Theater in the fall of 2018. And apparently they promise a big, scary animatronic Kong for your musical pleasure, because that's what you want to see in a musical, is a big robot ape.
And it's such a sad story, too. That's another reason I'm surprised to see it going to Broadway.
Lots of Broadway shows have sad endings.
But not where...
Miss Saigon? Right, Les Miserables?
But not where a monkey dies.
Oh, my God.
I want to see a monkey
die. Because animals really? Trump
that's
humans
always,
in
that's,
Bean's world.
That's always Bean's stance.
How about Eponine?
How about Eponine?
Yeah, from Les Mis. That was sad. Not a monkey.
Right.
Kevin, look, didn't you cry at
thousands
the...
of people can die. Bean's fine.
Yeah,
Kevin, didn't you cry at the
it.
King
it.
Kong movie?
It's possible. But then when an animal dies, he's not happy at all.
Yeah, but it's not an animal. It's...
It's a fictional.
Giant creature. If the story's done well, as the as many of the movies have been, including the original, you do empathize with the monkey. I mean, you
do you?
Yes.
And it's is so he a sad. Monkey? Do we call him a monkey?
He's an ape or whatever. Okay. But they rip him out of his homeland and take him to a strange land and kill him. It's a terrible story.
Yeah, sounds like our history here. Doesn't it?
Right.
Huh? Sounds like America. Are you sad about America?
How about the indigenous peoples?
Right.
Right.
Bean has nothing for them. Nothing.
Not a word.
He's but fine King, with them. But King, King Kong.
So cute.
Can we drag Bean out of his home and take him to an island and kill him? Can we do that?
I mean, yeah.
That'd be a musical.
I think we'd get in trouble, but yeah.
That'd be a musical to watch.
Be worth it, though, right?
Hey, how would you like to own the drum kit that Stuart Copeland of the Police used from 1976 to 1980?
That should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something, I would think.
This is the drums kit used on Roxanne, Next to You, So Lonely, Can't Stand Losing You. A little album called Regatta de Blanc, Message in a Bottle, Walking on the Moon. Hello! The legendary blue kit the drum Stuart Copeland used for all those years in the studio and on tour. Now available for auction at Julian's Auctions. That's a piece of rock and roll memorabilia right there. And if you're a drummer, you want that kit. They're expecting it to go for, what do you think? What do you think they're expecting the final number to be on this auction?
$16.50.
Very close. Oh, yeah. $40,000 is the estimated going for price.
I was close.
So, it's rock and roll history right there. It's real talk, too.
Yes.
Legendary. Friday night, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I will be taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose, doing a show we lovingly call Hollywood Babylon, but we can't do it without you. You got to be there. Join us, won't you? Go to
No.
Come on, come on, Pico Taro.
No.
Go to improv.com and get your ticket for tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
Come on, guys.
Today's celebrity birthday is Chow Yun-Fat. He's 62 years old today. Tina Fey of SNL fame. Philly girl, by the way. Just saying.
Don't care.
Pretty talented. Yeah. Philly. Philly's pretty, pretty, pretty talented. 47 years old today. Jack Johnson's 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have actor Jeffrey Tambor on the program.
Oh?
Does he know?
I don't think he knows yet.
No way.
There's no way that's going to stand.
Hey, now.
As of right now, that's the deal.
Huh.
Also, tomorrow's Friday, so we have the movie beat. We have a brand new internet roundup. We've got your tickets for U2 at the Rose Bowl, and we've got your tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, which is Saturday.